May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 24. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Hymn number 24.
From the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the first and second chapters. Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the first and second chapters. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. When he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace I am saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The way of his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Dear Lord, we gathered once more, spared to enter thy earthly courts, here, and we see, gracious God, thou hast come to us. We deserve not the least of all thy mercy. Thou knowest, Lord, our unworthiness, what we feel in our hearts, the carnality that rests there, and the overmuch being taken up with the things of time and sense. But gracious God, we trust there is a new man, that which desires better things, things that will never be taken from us. Lord, we walk in the experience of thy dear servant in the 7th of Romans. And oh, the inward conflict, but oh, how we come to thee and seek more grace, that we might walk more worthily of thee. Oh, be with us. We need thee much. We need thee to keep us from ourselves. We need thee to keep us in that straight and narrow way which leads to life. We need thee to teach us. We need thee to bless us. Lord, the work is thine. We've read of it in thy word this night. Great love, wherewith thou didst love us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Gracious God, we seek. For we know what it has been to be far off, without hope and without God in the world. Lord, we pray that we may be brought nigh through the blood of the cross. We believe we have been, Lord, thou knowest, in life's pathway. Thou hast come. We have known the sweetness of that sacred fountain opened for sin and all uncleanness. We can speak of its precious efficacy. That which removes guilt and filth and sin. And Lord, that which makes us clean. We have read in thy holy word this night what it is to be found in him, accepted in the beloved. Gracious God, we bear this congregation before thee, and pray that there may be the work of thy Spirit in the heart, that there may be a hope granted, an anchor of the soul. For tribulation worketh patience. That is, Lord, thou knowest, endurance and patience experience. Oh, may there be in this congregation experience, a knowledge of thyself, a sweet hope in thy mercy, a hearing of thy voice, a giving and application of thy precious promises, things that can never be taken from us, though often clouded over with many doubts and fears and much temptation and unbelief, much inward conflict. Yet, gracious God, we pray there may be known in the heart peace, thy presence, a desire to follow thee, a Lord, in the ordinances of thy house, a good hope through grace, a pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The sweet evidences, Lord, of that work of grace which thou didst speak of, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And gracious God, we seek for the fruits of the Spirit to be manifested. Oh, bless the preaching of the gospel in this pulpit from the lips of thy sent servants. Use it. Paul may sow, Apollos water, Thou alone, God, giveth the increase. But Lord, we pray there may be sowing, and there may be watering, and there may be a godly increase, the building up and establishment of the work of thy right hand, yea, his workmanship, created, spiritually created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Lord, a life that is separated from this world, a life of prayer, a life of faith and trust in thyself. Where else can we go except to thee? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Gracious God, we fast hasten on to meet thee face to face, constantly aware of it. Lord, that time is short and is with each one of us in relation to eternity. And dear Lord, we pray for thy workmanship in this place and congregation, that thou, Lord, wouldst come and work by thy Spirit. Manifest thyself. Gather immortal souls to thyself. Work by thy Holy Spirit. And grant, gracious God, that all the honour and the glory may be thine in the hearts of thy living children, and that lives and footsteps may be ordered and directed by thee. Tribulation may be sanctified. The Lord, thou hast spoken to us in our own souls and told us in our youth, through much tribulation ye shall enter into the kingdom of God. And Lord, we prove it again and again, but oh, we thank thee that, Lord, there is a confirming of the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through much tribulation ye shall enter into the kingdom of God. Sanctify tribulation. Lord, we think of thy dear people in sorrow and suffering and bereavement, and those, Lord, on the edge of eternity. Pray for thy dear servant this night, whose loved one, Lord, is drawing to the end, the close of her journey. Sanctify it to him as thou only art able to do. For thou hast walked this earth as that man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And Lord, we know and have proved that thou art able to assuage sorrows, to comfort all that mourn, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness, for the praise and glory is thine. The Lord, grant submission, as thou only canst grant it, that we may not be left to ask why, for thou dost move in a mysterious way, thy wonders to perform. Let us plant thy footsteps in the sea and ride upon the storm. The deep in unfathomable minds have never failing skill. He treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Sanctify afflictions. The world is full of them. But thy dear people, under thy merciful hand, are brought to profit from them, eternally profit. And gracious God, afflictions make us see, and they do what else would escape our sight. They bring us nearer to thee, closer at thy mercy seat, when they are sanctified. And gracious God, we would not avoid the path. Lord, thou dost ordain the steps of thy dear church. Read the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then that solemn word, and he delighteth in his way. O Lord, I believe thou knowest when we look back over the way, we can see the good hand of our God that brought us in that pathway that we might delight in that sweet knowledge of him in the pathway, in the furnace. The three men that went into the fire, Lord, thou knowest their feelings, their fears, their temptations, but as they look back at that precious moment when they walked with thee in the furnace, a spot never to be forgotten in their experience. And dear Lord, we believe we have walked it and known thy presence as deep waters have crossed life's pathway. And we would thank thee for the mercy that led us to those spots and places which poor fallen nature would have avoided. Gracious God, work here in the midst. Work in the hearts of the young as they grow up. Touch their hearts, Lord, in their youth, that they may have the Holy Spirit's teaching and the grace of God to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, while the evil days come not. For come they will. But dear Lord, we pray that their footsteps may be divinely guided into that straight and narrow way that leads to life. And Lord, that they may be kept by the mighty power of God, separated in heart and life from this world that lieth in wickedness, and be brought to follow thee and to walk with thee all the days of their lives. Lord, we have watched one generation pass away. There was a beginning with them, and there was an end, a time to be born, and a time to die. It will come to each one of us. Lord, our days are numbered, we know, but oh, we pray for grace to walk uprightly before thee in the land of the living, and we pray that thou wouldst raise up a following generation and use them to thine honour and glory. Oh, we thank thee that thou hast those precious divine purposes of which we have read in thy word this night. Thy dear church found in him, loved with an everlasting love to grace and glory he ordained. Lord, we pray for the dear older people in our Bethesda homes and in the churches, those here. Gracious God, we pray that thou wouldst be with them in the latter days of life's journey. And oh, grant that good hope through grace, which thou alone art able to grant. And Lord, grant that in their old age there may be a ripening, there may be fruit to thine honour and glory, that Lord, being brought down in weakness and infirmity of body and mind, they may be prepared and made ready to cross that river to be with thee eternally. Lord, we remember the nation in its vast darkness and evil. We're part of it. It has been a favoured land, a favoured spot since the days of the Reformation. Many have sacrificed their lives for the truth's sake in this land, and their memory is blessed. Thy holy word before us this night in our own tongue, that dear man Tyndale gave his life at the stake for his work. And Lord, we would remember the days of blessing in this land and the revivals that we have seen. But gracious God, thou seest the ignominy and shame and darkness and evil of this land now, and our national parliament legislating vile abominations, and the increasing persecution of thy people who stand according to the teaching of thy spirit in their heart and conscience. And we pray, Lord, for those who have been persecuted by the laws of this land and by our judges, those who have lost and sacrificed their jobs for their conscience' sake. Oh, gracious God, we pray for the young as they're growing up. And thou seest, Lord, even in the ministry of thy holy word, the laws of our land are casting a shadow over our freedom to preach the whole counsel of God without fear. But Lord, we know of those who have been condemned to heavy fines for preaching the whole counsel of God. Lord, we never dreamt we should see a day like this. But we pray that to thy people thou wouldst grant grace to stand faithful to the word of God and the divine revelation. We see Satan going about as a roaring lion, and the great evils of those who condone the vileness that is manifest in this land. We see great disorder amongst the youth. We see solemn, awful promiscuity, especially in the abortions of the murder of the infants in the womb. We see heathen darkness in this land, all around us. Thy people are but a tiny remnant. But gracious God, we pray, thou hast given more grace, that we, without fear, may be enabled to proclaim the whole counsel of God. We pray thee, Lord, to raise up and equip and send forth other servants of thine. It is thy work. Thou hast said in thy holy word, how shall they preach except they be sent? Lord, they must go with a divine commission. Thou dost lay an exercise, a burden of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, we pray that thou dost give grace in carrying that burden, to wait thy time and thy heavenly commandment. When that commandment comes, may grace be given, and may there be raised up a following generation of thy servants. We thank thee for the young ones thou hast and art sending out into the ministry of thy word. Lord, we pray, thou wouldst uphold their arms, as Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses, that their arms may be upheld by the prayers of thy dear people, and that they may be raised up to proclaim the whole counsel of God. Raise up others, we pray thee, in thy ordered time and way. O gracious God, favour Zion in these dark and evil times. Look upon the churches in the great declension in which we are now living. Yet, gracious God, we thank thee. There is a remnant we love and to whom we feel a deep union of heart. Gracious God, there is a remnant. We thank thee for it. And we pray, Lord, for the work of the Spirit, that the seed sown and scattered, watered, Lord, by thy Spirit, may bring forth fruit in years to come. As is now, Lord, this night, to come apart, to rest a while in thy earthly court. We seek for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Lead us into the word of truth in its sweetness, Lord, its simplicity, and make it life and power in the hearts of the hearers. And grant, Lord, that our earthen vessel may be filled rightly to declare the whole counsel of God and to speak well of him who came here into this world to die for sinners, that they might live eternally in his presence. We ask these mercies and favours so utterly undeserved, with the pardon of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us, fill us with thy boundless grace. 697.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, reading from chapter 1 and verse 4. Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, reading from chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. One thing that is clear here is that we have no hand in our salvation. It is entirely, as we read in the second chapter here, of sovereign grace. If ever a poor sinner is to be saved, it must be of Christ, chosen in him. It is in that eternal covenant ordered in all things and sure that our salvation must rest. It rests in nothing of ourselves. Robert Murray McChain, in his hymn, said, "Chosen not for good in me, call it out from wrath to flee. By the Spirit sanctified, it is all of sovereign grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The work is begun by him. It is carried on by him, and it will be finished by him. He is the Alpha and the Omega of the work of grace in the heart of a poor sinner. And if it has been begun in your heart, examine yourself and ask yourself, how did it begin? Did it begin rightly? Was it the work of God? It is spoken of here. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. That love is mentioned here in our text tonight. It is the love of God. Sends forth the Holy Spirit into the soul of a poor sinner to call them out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light. It is the same truth that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus on that night when he ventured to meet him. Ye must be born again. Nicodemus asked, how can these things be? Jesus said to him, art thou master of Israel? No, it's not these things. But the Lord was beginning. Work in Nicodemus is very much according to what Jesus told him. The wind bloweth. Has the wind blown in your heart? The gentle breath of God begun. When I'm preaching, I have done over many years now, I see from the pulpit changes as the years go by. Indefinable changes, but I can see There was a change in Nicodemus. This blessed electing love and mercy was around him. He didn't come to Jesus by night for no reason. There was a purpose of God in it. The wind blew that night. The Lord is working. And they said of him later, his brother Pharisees, "Art thou one of them?" I felt a great sweetness in this, that Jesus knew as he spoke to him, here was the man, ordained of God, for that sacred office, to carry his holy body to that grave with Joseph of Arimathea. They were secret disciples. Their lips were tightly shut. They were hidden. But they were loved of God. They were in that eternal covenant ordered in all things and sure. And the Lord had purposes toward them. The wind blew. Blessed wind of God's Spirit that blows in the heart of a sinner. It is divine life. It is divine love and mercy known. There is that new birth. And we see the foundation of it in our text. The apostle could look back over his own pathway. He could speak of himself as he did in that second chapter. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And you know, those who are chosen in him before the foundation of the world, the Holy Spirit comes according to that electing love and mercy to bring them to know him, to know Christ. Chosen in that one who is spoken of in Scripture as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But there is the rock. For his dear people, in all the multitude of their fears, sins, exercises and temptations, to be brought to have a standing ground in the sinking sands of time, in this mortal world where our mortality is well known to us, and only we live because of the sparing mercy of God. Oh, if he was strict to mark iniquity, says his word, who should stand? And we read of those cut off in a moment, without hope, without God in the world. Who but this dear apostle, as he wrote to the church at Ephesus, felt to deserve less? He says he was less than the least. He deserved not the mercy of God for his dreadful animosity and hatred to God's dear people and to Christ himself. And that is true of all of God's dear children. They do not, and they're brought to know it in their hearts. And I say to you tonight, do you feel it? Why was I made to hear his voice? Why me? Oh, blessed God, why me? Who must forever lie in hell were not salvation free. It is of the Lord's mercy, says Scripture, that we are not consumed. And we see in this apostle that the Lord manifested his glory in his salvation, that he should take the very one who hated the gospel, stood by when Stephen was stoned to death, and use him as a principal agent in his work to the Gentile churches. You see, those who are brought to feel their unworthiness and their guilt and their filth of their sins and their rebellion, deserving the being those who deserve the least of all God's mercies, are the ones he uses. Brought down to feel their nothingness, their poverty, and what they deserve in God's sight. And then if the Lord deal with them and come into their hearts, they have no objection, no conflict with this glorious truth that lies at the opening of this text, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. They see that but for that choice, that electing love and mercy, that sovereign grace of God, they must inevitably be cast into hell. And the glory is to their God that they come as poor, worthless, unworthy sinners with all their guilt and shame to realize that they were plucked as a brand from the burning, delivered by the mighty hand of God. You see, true praise to God comes from the lips of a broken-hearted sinner, realizing somewhat of the mercy of God extended to them. And as they know more and realize more where they would have gone left to themselves, and realize the mercy of God that dealt with them and called them and separated them, they have more and more sweet realization of that mercy and what it means. By grace are you saved, said the apostle. And as he taught that lesson to the church at Ephesus, so he was speaking out of the experience of his own soul of what sovereign grace truly was. Being justified, says the Apostle Paul, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The diamond, as it were, in the ring, that golden ring of truth, is grace. That's where the work begins. Mercy of God manifested in the love of Christ in coming here into this world to die for sinners that they might live. And in time, this finished work of Christ be manifest in their souls in divine teaching. His dear children to be brought to understand and enter into the sweetness of the blessings that he has obtained for them, as we read in the previous verse, who hath blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen. Here's the first of the spiritual blessings. To be brought to see and to know the rock of our salvation is in that eternal covenant, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. It is in his love, in coming here to fulfill his Father's holy will and to enter into this world, that he might take into union with his glorious deity a sacred holy body and offer himself, body and soul, in love, a sacrifice for the sins of his dear people, that their sins might be washed away in that fountain open for sin and all uncleanness. You may say to me tonight, I said it myself sitting in the pew in years gone by, Lord, I haven't walked it out, but I want to walk it out. And perhaps there are some of you tonight who, in that second hymn, it was in your heart that he would reveal himself to you and lead you into a knowledge of that precious fountain open for sin and all uncleanness in your own soul, that you might know its sacred efficacy in taking away guilt, condemnation, filth from your poor heart and giving you a good hope through grace. I say to you here tonight, there is a fountain filled with blood. Do you know anything about it? Do you long to know something about it? It lies here. Those who are called by grace divine, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, it is his divine purpose that they should be holy. What a word that is. How can a poor sinner be holy? Only as all his guilt and filth, every iota of it, is removed. And that can only be done by one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. You read a little lower down in this chapter those words, accepted in the beloved, accepted in the courts of heaven above, in Christ, the beloved Son of God. It is only as you and I are brought into union with the Lamb of God. Hymn writer says, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. That blessed work was, as it were, finished in eternity past. Christ is spoken of in Scripture as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The work was done. When Christ uttered his dying words on Calvary's cross, it is finished. Oh, what an indescribable work. What a mighty work. A mighty work in each individual sinner's heart. But when we look at the entire church of God in all ages, to see salvation and the gates of heaven opened through the blood of the Lamb of God, what a mighty work it is. But it is to be known, and there are desires for it. Blessed are they, said Christ, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, holiness. It is the righteousness of God in the finished work of his dear Son. Oh, without spot and blame, holy. Well, you've heard the gospel many times. You know the truth in your heart. You've heard it. You know the way of holiness. No doubt many of you could tell me exactly what the way to this blessed holiness is. But you haven't come there yet. You long to come there. You long to know this precious fountain opened and this sweet, precious blood of Christ sprinkled upon your heart and conscience. You have to plead and will have to. You'll have to wrestle with him. The Lord brings his dear people into some deep waters in thy pathway, has me. And they have an effect. I know exactly in my soul what it means, afflictions make us see. They do, they bring us down to possess the sins of our youth. To have a solemn realization of what we are in God's sight. To carry the burden of guilt and filth and sin. Tribulations are given of God in the hearts of his dear church for that purpose. The world has the same tribulations, the identical tribulations, but they're not sanctified. But to the child of God, they're the avenue to a knowledge of where they stand in his sight. And they have a desire to be prepared and made ready to stand in his before his immediate presence. And they know what they must have. Holiness and without blame. They know the avenue to it. They know that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. And the truth of the matter is this. They want to be found amongst that little us. Blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. You may not be able to come in there tonight. Cleanse it us. But have you a desire? Do you long to be like those dear disciples when he washed their feet? "Thou shalt never wash my feet," said Peter. Human nature is very strange, is it not? Some are overconfident. Some are underconfident. They worry immensely. And some are downright disobedient. Like Jonah. But she never washed my feet. Ah, the Lord was so merciful. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head, said Peter. No, he that is washed. He is not saved to wash his feet and he's clean everywhere. And here was the blessing. Christ, speaking to his dear disciple, ye are clean. All through the word that I have spoken unto you. Yet he was to go forth and deny his Lord with oaths and curses. Yet I've prayed for thee. He was to know thee over his darkest sins, denying his Lord with oaths and curses. He was to know the precious blood of Christ. He speaks of it in his letter. And he could say in years to come, when he penned his epistle, who his own self found in him, not having my own righteousness, but his, which is from above. Oh, he could speak who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I tell you tonight, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Rest not, give him no rest till you have this sweet entrance into the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us, and you can join that little us. And that blood is applied to your poor heart. And you can speak of the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and know something in your soul, that your lips may be opened one day to speak of what you have tasted and handled of the good word of life, what you know of Christ himself. And you will then know that that holiness that is spoken of here, you will be a poor fallen sinner all the days of your life, full of unbelief and many a temptation, and yet will have locked in your heart, as it were, a diamond, a secret jewel, a precious hope, a sweet knowledge of that blood of Christ applied in your heart and conscience, and you will have entered into the peace of God, which comes through the peace-speaking blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, this holiness that is spoken of here. Count Zinzendorf, when he penned his lovely hymn, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." The blood of Jesus Christ in the heart of a poor sinner, when applied, brings holiness and takes away guilt and shame, and brings peace. It is called the peace-speaking blood of Jesus, and it is to be known in the hearts of his dear people, and those precious moments will never be forgotten. "Sweet the moment," says the dear hymn writer, "rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend." You may mourn tonight that you know so little of the cross of Christ, but blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a promise. I give it to you this evening. They shall be filled. They will know something of that blood and righteousness. They will be brought to feel it. And I tell you this, as life goes on, you'll need it again and again. Sweet the hymn in our book, "Daily I repent of sin, daily wash in Calvary's flood." And is that your desire? Who gave it to you? Who planted in your soul a hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ? What changed you? From the days when you sat in this house of God and had no desire for these things, and now they are sweet to your taste. You do not come and go for the sake of some form, but you come and go to feed in the house of God. And when you go forth, having not fed, you mourn. But when you go forth, having fed from the word of God, you rejoice. A heart broken, a heart touched. Oh, how the psalmist knew it in the 51st Psalm, a broken. Do you know anything about it? How many of you have gone out of this house of God broken? A broken and a contrite heart. Through religion's more than notion, something must be known and felt, according as he hath chosen us in him. I would dwell on that word for a moment, in him. The writer says, united to Jesus the vine. And there is a uniting of God's dear people to himself. There is a putting of those arms of love and mercy about his dear church. A Lord comes and puts his arms around his dear people in the giving of the exceeding great and precious promises. Have you got one? They're the arms of mercy and love underneath. Underneath, says Moses, are the everlasting arms. Those are the sweet promises of God. What Christ has said must be fulfilled. They're in him. He has spoken to them. He has given them his promises. Yea, I have loved thee. They're all different, the promises of God. But they're given. There's a power in them. There's a sweetness. It is the word of God to a poor sinner. And it's never to be taken away. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to be brought into his arms of love and mercy. But I go further, you see. There is, as the apostle says in his letter to the church at Philippi, fellowship with him in his sufferings. Oh, to be found in him. It is to know him. Not about him. That's vastly different. Thousands know about him. How many know him? My sheep hear my voice. Do you know him? Has he spoken to you? Has he come as the gentle breath of heaven into your soul? We heard his voice. We speak not of anything natural, human. It is the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. As Elijah heard it in the cave, the still small voice of God speaking into the heart of a poor sinner, never to be forgotten. Leaving an indelible mark, a very blessed mark. My sheep hear my voice. But they're brought to know him. And that is solemn, is it not? Because he was a man of sufferings, a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He walked this earth, and we read in the second letter to the church at Corinth, we're weak with him. Beautiful word, isn't it? Weak with him. Oh, how I've proved in my life, in times of great weakness, as I have passed through, what it has been to have a sweet fellowship with him. He has come down to the very bottom of the paths of all his dear people. He has walked this earth. He knows what sore temptations mean, says the hymn writer, for he has felt the same. And when we are found in him, it is to know his presence with us. It is to hear his voice. And it is to catch a glimpse of the path he walked, that we might reach glory and be with him one day eternally. Oh, the words of the apostle in his letter to the church at Philippi, they came from his heart, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but his, which is from above. Oh, when the church of God is found in him, he is to them all they will ever stand in need of, a redeemer, an advocate, a high priest, an intercessor in the courts of heaven above, where with authority he asks, enthroned in glory now. And as they are brought into union with him, so they will come here to know what these spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. And we must be brought down to come there. We must be brought in sincerity and in truth. And it's the fires of life's pathway that do it, that bring us down under the sanctifying influence of his Spirit, to hear his voice and to have fellowship with him and to commune with him from off his mercy seat. holy and without blame, in him. And finally, this word in the end of this sentence, in love. Spoken of peace and pardon, faith and hope, yet the greatest of these is love. As the scripture, this version speaks of it, charity. Faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity, is love. Oh, have you known the love of Christ? Tasted a sip of it? Oh, that blessed love, when the poor sinner is given by the Holy Spirit a little hope, and they enter in to a sweet knowledge of his mercy to them, and the love, the inexpressible, indescribable love that brought them out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light. Well, will they say, why me? Why should he love me? Why should he so love me that he came here and gave himself a ransom for my sins? Why should he enter into such suffering sorrows and agonies as he did on Calvary's cross? Agonies which we cannot comprehend, only as they're revealed to us in a tiny measure. Why should he do that? For such a worthless wretch as myself. Do you see, when we're brought to feel our utter unworthiness, that we deserve not the least of his mercy, and to have a sight and solemn realization of our sins as they are seen by him, and to see ourselves, as we read in the Song of Solomon, as black as the tents of Kedar, brought to know the filth and guilt of sin, then we shall look in wonder. Why did he come to me? Ah, here is the answer. Love. Jacob, have I loved? No reason. No reason. Jacob, have I loved? Oh, have you known a sweet sip of his love? It is a blessed mercy when the love of Christ is felt and known in the soul. How we read of so many in his day who came to him, drawn to him, and they knew his love. His love manifested. Go thy way. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Oh, the love that flows in the application of his precious blood in the hearts of his dear people. They love him. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave himself to be a ransom for our sins. I believe that, as the top lady says, loved of my God, for him again, with love intense I'd burn, chosen of thee, ere time began, I choose thee in return, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, that is his sovereign grace, whereby he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Broom is again expected to preach next Lord's Day and on Monday at our anniversary services. And we close with hymn 99. Blessed Jesus, thee we sing, thou of life the eternal spring, thou art worthy, thou alone, thou the rock and cornerstone. Hymn number 99.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.